testing works.
through sound?
I'm not free.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Okay.
Good morning, West Derwent. Let's stand as we begin worship this morning. How I love the great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. How adore I tell the story of the love that makes men free. Till my earthly life is ended, I will send song divine things earth just to see. My soul shall be praising Jesus.
The world above, my soul shall see.
Holy, holy.
This is one of the new ones we learned last Sunday night. I taught it where basses would not sing the first line, but go ahead and sing this time. All right.
Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. Hallelujah.
Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You are the lifter of my head. Welcome today. I'm glad you're joining us to worship this great God that is a shield about us all. Welcome to those who are following us online. We appreciate you being a part of our worshiping family today. Of course, all of our crowd that is here in person, please be sure and fill out an attendance card that you see in front of you, whether you're a visitor, a guest, or one of our members. We appreciate having a record of your attendance today. You can do that on the app as well and make a record of your attendance if you are one of our members today. We do have some new members to announce today, Nick and Haley Caveras. Wherever you are, would you stand? Please, Nick and Haley back there. Also, Emily, go ahead and stand as well. Emily is an exchange student from the Czech Republic, and so welcome. We are glad to have you, and they have been worshiping with us for a while. Been a big part of the We Connected class of late, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you so very much. This evening, we will have a prayer devotional at 5 p.m. That will be in our chapel. This will be specifically for our nation as we continue this election season, just 3 or 4 weeks out now away from that time where we elect new leaders. And we want to be prayerful about that all the time, but we will be doing that again the Sunday evening before the election in November, but also this Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and we encourage you to come and be a part of that. We have a lot of events that are coming up. There's a Bunko on Tuesday night, and so there's a sign-up sheet out for that. We have our fall festival coming up on Sunday evening, October 27th. There's sign-up sheets out there for that. We need candy. We need people to take on the games that our children will be able to play in the Family Life Center, carnival-style games and booths there, and also a chili cook-off. So there's a sign-up sheet for that. I've been looking for an app that will tell me on my phone which stores have the mini-sized Baby Ruth bars on sale. And apparently that has not been invented yet, so some of you high-tech people, get on that, would you? I would appreciate that. Please bring candy and sign up. That'll be a great, great night for sure. We do have one announcement we want to make about our World Bible School. We have been trying to get people to sign up, of course, and we've had a lot of reactions and views and visits on our website or on the website for World Bible School. We do want to make this note, though, where people need to be sent is the website Jesus, and then the number 4, the letter U, at worldbibleschool.org. And that is the QR code for that. You also see that listed on that slide, that website. This will help us to know the folks that sign up. They will actually be given to us, and they'll we'll hear that they are interested in taking on the World Bible School as a student, and some of our student helpers will be able to help them there. So please make a note of that, and I appreciate everyone continuing to work on this. I do want to make another announcement about one of our special members, and she's going to kill me for this, but Suzanne Brawley was recently inducted into the Van Independent School District Hall of Fame for faculty and staff and coaches. And so I think that warrants, I don't know where she is. There she is. Yeah. Suzanne is one special Christian, and I appreciate her so very much, and I'm glad you're getting a few of the accolades that are so very much deserved. A few prayer updates. Our Alyssa Leung continues to be in need of our prayers. Also, Lou West and Donnie Carnathan will be having some surgical procedures, this week. And of course, we've had several that have been lost, that have experienced lost loved ones. And I know that Wade will be remembering them as we go to our Father in prayer.
Morning, church. Just had one kind of late announcement. Is Dennis Phelps, who used to be a member here at this church, has passed away. Services are pending for that. So that was kind of late breaking news. The services were Gene Chandler were here yesterday at our church building. with a very full auditorium. So let's pray. Dear God, we come before you this morning recognizing you as the creator and sustainer of all life and everything that is, has ever been, or ever will be. And we confess to you that we are your people and we want to do your will. We struggle and fail at that often, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask for your forgiveness. I want to pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the family of Gene Chandler in their loss of Gene. What a great Christian example and man that he was. We pray that you will give them comfort and peace, knowing that we will all join him one day. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the continued recovery of John Shaw after his surgery. Pray that we will continue to get good reports. Pray especially this morning for Ponder Wright, who is having kidney issues at the moment, and we pray that they will find out what is wrong with him, and hopefully he will regain his health, dear Heavenly Father. We want to pray for all the others on our prayer care list. There's so many names there that are scheduled procedures, scheduled surgeries, recovering from surgeries, recovering from cancer treatment, from heart treatments. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those who've been afflicted with health issues. We pray that they will recover their health and will be able to be good servants in your kingdom going forward. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, at this time for our country. In the words of the late Gene Chandler, what a mess, what a mess. It is not what we ever thought it would end up being. Over 400 years ago, we had pilgrims that came to this country to get away from state-sponsored Christianity and to follow your word and your word only. We set up a republic nearly 250 years ago to protect individuals' freedoms and the right for us to assemble just even this morning. While we know, dear Heavenly Father, that this country was never the country we find in the Old Testament that was purely of your people, it was the shining light in the world. Your word was respected, valued. People knew who you were. And unfortunately, dear Heavenly Father, we can no longer say that. Because the foundations of this great, once great nation are crumbling. And the light is very dim. We were astonished a number of years ago when the definition of marriage was no longer a man and a woman. Yet we sat by and watched. And now, to our dismay, the degradation continues. People cannot even define what a man or a woman even is. We don't know how we got here. We have been good at sending missionaries to foreign fields to preach your word, to spread the gospel. But what have we done at home? It's like a parent who goes and takes care of all the unfortunate children, yet neglects their own. We have a hard time asking the hard questions. The hard questions of where are our children this morning? Are they worshiping you on the Lord's day? Where are our grandchildren this morning? Are they in Bible class and at church, learning about you, understanding what your word means? Are they out on a field chasing a ball somewhere? If we read your word, we understand what Solomon said about all of the extracurricular things in this world. He chased everyone there was. He said it was like chasing the wind. And at the end of his days, the wisest man that ever lived on this earth summed it up. The whole duty of man is to respect you and keep your commandments. Dear Heavenly Father, we have failed you, and for that we ask your forgiveness. We see with the World Bible School that we start to at least acknowledge the problem and that we are going to try our best to spread your word in this land while there's still a flicker of light in that beacon. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, at this time also for the upcoming election. We see so much divisiveness in our country. We have not witnessed since the Civil War. We see the relocating of people all over this country trying to get away from different factions. Yet we see an infestation of career politicians who continuously lie to fool us, yet enrich themselves while they're in office. We see no statesmen anymore. We see no people in our government with integrity whose yes means yes and whose no means no. We need men and women to stand up and become elected officials with the character of Gene Chandler. Who had tremendous character and faith in you and love in your word. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will cast your guiding hands upon this country and help us to get the rudder back on a ship that has had its rudder broken off and we're just adrift. We see throughout the Old Testament where it states over and over, men were doing what is right, what they saw to be right in their own eyes, and we see that happening today, and we know that the result of that is never good. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the committees that are searching for our preacher and also a youth minister. We know that your guiding hand will be with those. We pray that you will help guide them so that they will vet out the men that we need to continue to help us move this church forward. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will touch the hearts of the men who are contacted so that they will see your efforts and your works come to fruition in this regard. We know that you are in control, dear God, and we just ask for your help in these searches so that we will have the right person that we need to move forward in this bizarre world in which we live. Dear God, we thank you so much for the sacrifice that Christ made and that we will remember in just a very short period of time with our communion. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as your church that meets here today, that we will do all things in according to your will. Dear Heavenly Father, we do many, many wrong things each and every day, and for that we're truly sorrowful. We pray your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Testing. Oh, there we go. As we prepare our minds for our Lord's Supper, let's sing He Paid a Debt.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
We gather at this time on the first day of the week as God's people, to remember what Paul reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that was of first importance, that Jesus died according to the scriptures for our sins, and that Jesus was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And in Matthew chapter 12, we see the Pharisees and the teachers of the law wanted to see a miraculous sign, and Jesus had this response for them, starting in verse 39. But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." We see the story of Jonah as a fulfillment, a prophecy of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. But I think there's more to that story that we can get from that. And in Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, picking up, "Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. When Jonah began, he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown.' And listen how they responded. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, 'In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let them eat or drink. Do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger, so that we will not perish.' When God saw their deeds and they turned from the wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Just like after Jonah came out of the belly for 3 days and three nights, and Nineveh heard and repented, they had salvation. Jesus came from the grave after 3 days and three nights. And if we, as Christians, we have turned from our ways, we have come to him, we have put him on in baptism, we have that same salvation. And we get to celebrate that this morning and remember it. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You are our Almighty King, and we thank you that we can remember your Son and his sacrifice, and as we partake of this bread and remember his body that was pierced on the cross and know that it was done for our sins, we pray that we reflect upon this gift and that we pursue you with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we give you thanks, and we thank you for your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
paid that debt at Calvary. Cleanse my soul, set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, at this time, as we continue and we partake of this fruit of the vine, we remember that Jesus and his blood that was poured out and flowed from his body to cover our sins, and that he paid the price that we could not pay. And we know from your word that when we obey you in baptism, that we don't understand it, but we know it says that we come in contact with that blood, and that blood covers us. Because of our faith and our obedience, and not because of the things that we do, but because of your Son, we have justification, that our sins are no more. We remember that this morning, and we give you thanks, and we glorify you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that
pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we work hard every day to provide for what we believe are our needs and the things that we want, but you ultimately provide everything. And that is difficult for us to comprehend many times. We thank you for that. Give us that understanding to know that all that we have comes from you and that you are giving us to be stewards of those things. And there are many things that we can do, Lord, as individuals, but we have this opportunity to give back to your church here so that the things that we can combine together, we can do more than we would as single people, dear Lord. And pray that as we give, that we give with a grateful heart, and we pray that your kingdom will be strengthened and that your kingdom will grow. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
At this time, if you're involved with the Blast Ministry, you're dismissed. Also, we have, if you have attendance cards to be passed to the aisle closest to you, we have some young men that will come by and pick those up. And if you would, please stand as we sing Bless Your Servant before Bill's sermon this morning. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praise my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above.
I hope you have that blessed assurance today, and if you don't, I'd like to talk to you about that sometime. So feel free to contact one of our ministers or our shepherds or someone that you know here that can help you along that path and that journey. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We're in the midst of a series of lessons that look at summary statements in Scripture, those little tiny statements or maybe small passages that give a summary of what it means to follow God, what it means to live a life that is pleasing to Him, a life that will help us to have that blessed assurance. Jesus does that as well in a few places. We started with His greatest and second greatest commandments. Today, we're going to go back to the Gospels, and we're going to look at another summary statement that Jesus makes. Here's what it means, he says, to be my disciple. In Luke 9, verse 23, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, Jesus says, that's what it looks like, and that's what it means. These summary statements are all, because they're summary statements, they're general. There's not specific applications there. There's not a list of do's and don'ts, thou shalt and thou shalt nots. But one of the things that I hope I remember to say a few times today is, I think we all know what those are. I think we all know if we're doing what Jesus says here or not. I think we know if we're denying self or if we're indulging self. I think we all know if we're taking up our crosses every day, if we're doing the things that we know that God wants us to do, even though it may not be something that we want to do at that moment, or that we're not doing the things that we want to do because we know God doesn't want us to do that. We know that that doesn't honor Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we put those things on the cross and we deny ourselves and we follow Him. As Cameron led us in that wonderful time of gathering around the table together and remembering the great sacrifice of Christ and taking us back to the days of Jonah and looking at Jesus and His world and the people that were trying to find an excuse to not do what He's telling us to do. Give us some sign. Let us see something tangible. Let us have something concrete. And Jesus says, well, yeah, you'll see a sign. And Cameron took us there again in 1 Corinthians 15. That definition of what the gospel really is, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried for 3 days, and that He was raised from the dead. That He appeared to people so that we would know that this word is true. And Jesus says, that's really all you should need. If you're looking for more than that, you will never be satisfied. If you can't accept this call by faith, you will not ever accept it. Because this call is not one that is based on tangible, concrete things that our five senses can really apply to. Now, I think those things give it credibility. None of those things deny the reality of what Jesus has done and what He has called us to do. But if we're looking for that, we'll never have enough of that. But if we're willing to hear Jesus say, deny yourself, take up your cross every day and follow Me, and we truly believe that He died on that cross for our sins, that He was buried for 3 days, and that He was raised from the dead, and that that tomb is empty, and that He will come back, then we'll do everything we can to fulfill these words of Christ. Matthew and Mark also share this story. Luke broadens it out a little bit. But only Luke is the one who says every day, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Me. I do want us to turn to Matthew 16, however, and that is the chapter that we'll center on to try to get this whole story and the whole context of what Jesus says as Matthew, Mark, and Luke record it. First of all, Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? It's one of those questions. God is filled with them. Have you noticed that? He asks us questions, not so that He can find out information He doesn't know. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had sinned, and God is there, and He calls out to the man, where are you? Like He didn't know. Oh, He knew. But when God asks questions like this, He's asking them for our benefit, not His. And so as He's among His disciples, as He's here in our presence today, He asks, who do you say I am? Doesn't start there, but it gets there. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Verse 15, "But what about you?" Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter is, he's always bold, not always right, but never in doubt. And here's one of those times where he's not in doubt, but he's also right. He speaks out, and Jesus even affirms, "Peter, there's a little bit of Holy Spirit working in you on this one, my friend. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for since the days of Abraham, 2,000 years ago. You're the Savior. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Who do you say I am?" And today, as we think about these three things, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus, this is where it should start with this question. Who do you say Jesus is? And if you are willing to answer honestly, who do you really believe and say that Jesus is? That will affect how you respond to his call to deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and follow him. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is who Peter says he is, you will not be able to do that. You will give in to self. But if you truly believe that, then it should matter how you live. It should matter the choices you make. Who do you say I am? The passage continues, and Jesus promises, "My church will never be destroyed." He makes that transition from himself as the Messiah to the church that he is about to die for. The discussion goes on in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Well done, Peter. You're right. And you had a little help, but you're still right. I am the Messiah. And upon this rock, upon this firm foundation, that I am the Son of God, that I am what you confessed I am to be, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. No matter how much it's threatened, no matter how much it's challenged, my church will be victorious. My kingdom will last. We think back to the days of Daniel and the days of the exile, and there before the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar and his crazy weird dream with this odd statue with different parts, and no one can interpret it. And Daniel says, "Well, there's a God that can interpret it, and he can tell you your dream, and he's shared that with me, and I'll share it with you." And he talks to him about kingdoms. The Babylonian kingdom, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians that will replace it, the kingdom of Alexander the Great and the Greeks that will replace it, and ultimately the Roman Empire. And what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, "In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever." Now, lest we think of this as a physical kingdom, let's remember Jesus' interaction with Pontius Pilate, the civil authority of his day, the Roman governor, when he was about to be crucified, and Pilate had the authority to say thumbs up or thumbs down on Jesus and his life. ultimately thumbs down. But he discusses about the kingdom with Jesus, and he acknowledges, Jesus does that, yes, I have a kingdom, but it's not like yours. It's not like the Roman Empire. It doesn't have boundaries, and it's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual one. If it were physical, then believe me, I'd have people here fighting for me, and you would have no power. But you've been given authority by the one who sent me. But my kingdom is not of this world. And that's the same kingdom that Daniel was looking ahead to. That's the same kingdom, the church, that Jesus said, I am building, I am establishing. Upon my death, burial, and resurrection, on the very words that you spoke, Peter, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of God. And there's nothing that will destroy that kingdom, as our wonderful shepherd shared in that great, great prayer earlier. There are things that threaten God's kingdom that are secular, that are of this world, and we get that, always have been. Sometimes they rear their ugly head in stronger ways than others. We seem to be in one of those periods. But this we know, and this is why we have that blessed assurance. They cannot win. It may look like it sometimes, but the gates of hell will never prevail against the kingdom of Christ, against his church. Because it is an eternal kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is one that transcends boundaries. It is one that is found in every nation, in every tongue, in every place. Tonight during our prayer devotional, we'll be sharing and asking for God to bless our nation. To help us during this very critical and important time. Not because our nation is the kingdom of Christ. It's not. It never will be. We certainly don't want state-sponsored Christianity. Unless, of course, it's exactly like I believe, and then I'm good with it. We could never have that. We would never want that. But what we want is for the kingdom of Christ to be able to prosper in the midst of this secular nation. And so we're asking God to help bring that about. What we do know from this book right here is that even though the civil authorities threaten and come through on their threats, they cannot destroy the kingdom that is built on the rock, the spiritual kingdom that Jesus established with his death. Jesus promises, my church will never be destroyed. Next, in Matthew 16, Jesus says, here's what it means to be the Messiah. Peter has just said that he was. What does that mean? Jesus says, well, what it means to be the Messiah is I die. I die. And that doesn't make sense to us. Verse 21 of Matthew 16, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, who are supposed to be the good guys, by the way, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised back to life. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And I want you to know today that too many times I'm right there with Peter. No, no, no. No, 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 that's not it. Let's not talk about denying self. Let's not talk about crosses. Let's not talk about following you to the grave, if that's what it takes. No, 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 that should never happen to you, Lord. And Jesus calls him out in the strongest of terms. Get behind me. And what did he call him? Get behind me, Satan. Peter, right now, you're doing the work of the adversary. He's been trying to thwart this mission all along. Do we? For the sake of whatever it might be. Do we thwart that mission to deny self? To be willing to take up our cross every day? To follow Jesus, whatever that means? Or do we, like Peter, seek to soften the blow? Oh, no, 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 you don't mean that really, God. You don't mean that really, Jesus. It's okay for me to do this. I know it's wrong, but it's okay. It's okay for me not to do this good work. because I'm tired, or because I've got other interests, or because I've got other obligations. Do we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do we really believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Do we really believe that the tomb is empty? Do we really believe that He's coming back? Because I can tell you, no matter how we answer that question, if we're not willing to deny ourselves, take up our crosses every day, and follow Christ, we don't. We don't, really. Because if we did, we would. And there would be nothing that could stop us. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus says. But he doesn't just tell us what it means for him. Jesus states, here's what it means now to be my disciple. Matthew 16, beginning in the next verse, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And I think sometimes what we want to do is gain the whole world. Starting with our family, starting with our community, starting with our job, starting with our school, starting with our friends, starting with our country. And Jesus says, as important as all those things are, they're not the kingdom. Because here's what the kingdom requires: to deny self, not indulge self. Not, as Wade shared, to go off on crazy directions that people, not just the church, God's people, the Jews, but most civilization have said that's not right. Jesus says you've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily, as Luke says, and follow me. Follow him where? We know where his journey ended, didn't we? We know that. It ended with the ultimate denial of self, the giving of his life. We're not required to do that in this country, thankfully. We pray that that will never happen. We also acknowledge that there are some people right now who are meeting in secret behind locked doors, just as they did in the first century, because if the authorities knew about it, they would kill them. But we're not asked to do that, at least not right now, not in this room, not for most of those that are watching and worshiping with us today online, but we are asked to do other things. Are we willing? What are you willing to give up? Because Jesus is number one in your life. Time, pleasure, friendship, money. Again, I think we all know if we're doing that or not. And I think Jesus doesn't have to be specific here for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're all different, and so our lists look different. But number two, he doesn't have to be specific, I think, because every single one of us know. And none of us is doing this perfectly, I get that. But let's not use that as an excuse to not do it at all. Let's be willing to commit to denial of self rather than indulging self. To taking up our cross every day and following Jesus on that path to Golgotha, to Calvary, the place of the cross. Here's what it means to be my disciple. Again, this reminder from Luke 9. Deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and follow Jesus. What does that mean for you? I think you know. I think you know. And if you're having trouble with it, then talk to me. Talk to one of our shepherds. Talk to one of our ministers. Talk to your Bible class teacher. Talk to your friend who shares your convictions. Somebody who can help you verbalize this and think this through and talk this out and say, am I on the wrong page here? Am I truly following Jesus? Am I truly his disciple? I think we all know. I think we all know. And as hard a passage as this is, as hard a call as this is, Jesus promises it will all be worth it. It will all be worth it. Oh, you may not be the captain of the team, or you may not be the star of the show, or you may not get the job promotion, or you may not have tons of money in the bank, but it will all be worth it in spite of what you give up. How do you know that, Bill? This last verse we'll read, Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they've done. God sees and he knows and he will not forget. And he's a just God, and he treats us with mercy and grace because he looks at us and then he looks over at his Son and he says, are they with you? And he says, yes, yes. That person is my disciple. Oh, they didn't follow me perfectly, but my blood covers their imperfection. Because they were willing to believe in me so strongly that they would deny themselves. They would take up their cross every day and they would follow me. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owed the debt I couldn't pay. And now I sing a brand new song. What? Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And because of that, where he leads, I will follow. I will follow Jesus every single day. This morning, if we can help you do that, come as we sing and stand.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dear friend.
Sought me and bought me with it. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, creator and sustainer of heaven and earth, thank you for this opportunity we've come to worship you. I love West Irwin. We love West Irwin. Thank you for this building that we have to worship you, to come together this Sunday. Lord, I know there's a lot of fear and bitterness tied to this time of year. There's an election season coming on, and I want to pray for everyone involved, everyone running, all the campaigns. Lord, your kingdom is forever, and whether our president is Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, Lord, we know that your kingdom is beyond all that. Give us peace and give us strength to go on, no matter who wins. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.